Welcome to the Shadow Vein Podcast. Tonight, our second place contest winner, 3 a.m. by Natalie Jacobson.
So, you said that you've had some trauma related to sleeping problems you've had?
The therapist asked, pressing the tip of his pen against his lips. I nodded, shifting to get comfortable between the fluffy pillows on the large couch situated across from his more professional chair.
Why don't we start small?
He suggested.
Everyone has some minor sleeping issues.
Okay. I nodded again. I leaned back, resting on the couch cushions. I took a deep breath, searching for somewhere to start. Sometimes, when I exercise before bed, I fall right asleep. But other times I feel really energized and can't calm down. And sometimes if I stay up late, I sleep in. But other times I wake up at the same time I usually do. For a while there, I would wake up every night at 3 a.m. for some reason. And a while ago, I used to drink decaf coffee before sleeping, but once I mixed it up with regular, I didn't make that mistake again. I laughed, awkwardly glancing around my therapist's office. It was so cozy and comforting. A little fountain in a bowl bubbled on the desk, and sunlight streamed in through the window that fragmented into rainbows by small crystals hanging from the ceiling. Looking at my dusty little therapist with his pants thinning at the knees, I doubted he had decorated it.
All right, we've laid something down. Now, let's try and go deeper. Does anything strange occur in your dreams?
I licked my lips and found that I was staring at the floor. I shifted my eyes to his face and began again. I noticed a recurring theme. Really a person in my dreams. I have this close cousin. She's not that much younger than me. We don't get to spend tons of time together, but when we do get together, it's always great. It's always really great. I always enjoy it. Even though she's younger, I kind of look up to her in a way. She's just such a cool person, and sometimes she appears in my dreams. But she never really appears as herself. She appears as, like, an alternative version of herself. Like she had different haircuts, or dressed differently, or came from different backgrounds, like once. I laughed at myself nervously. It just sounded silly. Like once I dreamt that she commanded an army of disposed children. And I know it's not at all strange to dream about people, but these dreams would sort of weigh on my mind when I'd speak to her. Listening closely, the therapist nodded as I spoke. I paused for a moment. This was only really fluff. He couldn't help me unless I unloaded the heavy stuff. I began again. My dreams, they started getting worse. His eyebrows quirked upward, but he didn't say anything. It was a slow progression, and it took me some time to notice it at first. I very rarely remember my dreams before it happened. I remember reading somewhere that you only remember your dreams if you wake up during them. My therapist nodded. And I started to remember more and more dreams. I would sometimes write down my dreams because they were cool and it was interesting to look back at them, but these dreams, I didn't want to remember them. I didn't always really fully remember the dreams, and I would wake up with I searched for the right words. A vague sense of uneasiness. I would wake up feeling wrong. Unclean. It was just so bad. It was like something horrible had happened, and I couldn't quite remember what it was, but I could still feel all the bad emotions that went with the event. I sighed deeply, taking a moment to calm myself before continuing. What I did remember started off as vaguely strange and slowly entered into completely terrifying. Like, they would pretty much be normal dreams, but they would be strange. An uncomfortable sort of strange, like disturbing background imagery and weird people. Usually my dreams would take place in a setting that felt familiar to me. They would be somewhere that I had been before, or some sort of mashup of locations. But they would never be scary or strange. I would be as comfortable in them as I would be anywhere else in real life. But in these dreams, I just felt uneasy wherever I was. But then it started to get really scary. Like, I would start getting chased by things. Whereas before, I would just be in strange places. I would get stalked in my dreams. Evil creatures and people would follow and try to capture me. The dreams didn't even show what would happen after they caught me. I was too busy trying to run away. My therapist removed the end of his pen from his mouth.
The subject of the dreams are important, but I would like you to tell me a little about how they were affecting you.
I licked my lips, beginning again. For the most part, I could get past them. They would only really affect me in the morning. They made me feel uneasy after sleeping. And I loved sleeping. Every day I would look forward to getting home and climbing into bed. But now one of my favorite things to do began to scare me. But after I woke up, they wouldn't seem as bad, as long as I didn't dwell on them. They would fade away pretty quickly. I had to give myself more time in the mornings to get ready, but otherwise it didn't really affect me too horribly. It then got worse, of course. Sometimes the dreams were so disturbing that they would wake me up. I would face some kind of sudden scare that would jolt me awake. Sometimes I realized I was dreaming, or rebel against what was happening so much that I would literally force myself to wake up. The created images were so unreal that I would not accept them as reality, and I would realize I was dreaming and wake up. I've heard of lucid dreaming, becoming aware that you are dreaming and then taking control of it. I've never been able to do that, not even close. If I did realize that I was in a dream, I would immediately wake up. That's the most control I would ever get. Sometimes after I would wake up, I didn't wake up completely. I would sort of come out of the dream slowly, in a slow process, discovering that I was lying in my bed awake. It was really bad when the dreams began to blend with reality, and other idle thoughts that I would have when I was awake would begin to meld into them. I wouldn't fully realize I was awake, and I would get trapped. I would lie there for hours, struggling to get my dreamy thoughts to make sense. I would be trapped. floating between unconsciousness and the uneasy dreamscape. The only way to get out of it was to get up and do something to clear my mind. It could be as simple as walking down the hallway. I had to sort of reset my mind so that I could return to sleep untethered. I glanced again at my therapist. He was staring at me rather intently, his pen hovering a few inches from his mouth. He noticed my glance and nodded for me to go on, shifting in his seat. There was another type of dream that really messed with me. I began again. I would dream that I would wake up at 3 a.m. like always, and then I would actually wake up soon afterwards. It was extremely disorienting. About that, I continued to wake up at 3 a.m. every night. But it really was never a big deal. I would just look at the clock and then roll over and go back to sleep. But then I started to notice something. After I woke up at 3 a.m. and went back to sleep, I wouldn't have any more bad dreams. Well, I would sometimes, but they were more normal dreams. Or even better, I didn't dream at all. It was sort of like when I had to get out of bed to escape floating between being awake and being asleep, only like my mind had to reset itself automatically. Once I became aware of this, I began to adjust my sleeping schedule so that I was sleeping as much as I could after 3 a.m. and as little as possible before it. This didn't work very well due to my demanding schedule, though, and I eventually quit trying. Trapped. A prisoner to my own self-consciousness. The dreams, they made me afraid to sleep. Afraid of what I would experience. I began to hate my bed. It made me afraid. Just thinking about going to sleep would give me anxiety. I would lay awake at night, too nervous to let myself sleep, but too tired to do anything else but lay there. The thoughts I would have anticipating the dreams began to get almost as bad as the dreams themselves. The lack of sleep this caused really began to drag me down. It began to affect the way I worked, and I began to get in trouble at my job. It affected my social life too, as I no longer had the energy to hang out with people, let alone hold a decent conversation. Eventually, people began to notice. My mother, especially. She doesn't live too far away, and she would drop by every once in a while. She came by once and was completely appalled by how horribly I was doing, and did her best to help. I ended up spending a night at her house, sleeping in my old room. I wasn't as scared there. The lights I saw in the dark, they were a different sort of familiar. They were everything that was good about the memories from my childhood. I fell asleep quickly. I woke up again in the middle of the night. There was no clock in that room, but I got up to get a glass of water and was hit by a surprise. It was 5:40 a.m. At first, I thought that maybe I just didn't remember waking up at 3 a.m., but the more I thought about it, the more I was sure I did not wake up at 3 a.m. I had completely slept through it. I was amazed. In my happiness, I thought it was gone for good. I went back home feeling a lot better. However, the next night, it happened again. Suddenly, I was awake. The afterimage of an especially terrifying dream still vivid in my mind. Hoping with all my summonable might, I reached for the clock. I turned it to me, and the red numbers burned into my brain. It was 3 a.m. I still had woken up. Once I reached a more stable state of consciousness, I realized that it might have had something to do with where I was sleeping. To make sure the night at my mother's hadn't been just a fluke, I slept there again. I did wake up during the night, but to my jubilation, I once again woke up well after 3 a.m. It was clear then it had something to do with my house. Hoping that it might be my hated bed, I slept in the small guest bed in the basement. The night was horrible. I had terrible, terrible nightmares. I was woken up on several occasions, and each time I would be confused and disoriented, still half within my dreams. I had absurd amounts of trouble getting myself awake enough to get out of the bed to reset my head. It felt as if some immense weight was on my mind, keeping my thoughts from focusing even on something as simple as sitting upright. The night passed. Slowly. I remember very distinctly when I was suddenly and rather horribly wrenched from my dreams, like a loud noise had sounded, disturbing me. Realizing what had happened, I reached for a clock. It was 3 a.m. I was never going to sleep in that bed again. I tried to tell myself that it was just a bad night due to sleeping in an unfamiliar location, but I couldn't really believe it. That next night, I slept on the couch upstairs. It was a worse night than average, but it was not the horror that came with the basement. I was sure now that what I experienced on the couch had been caused by sleeping in an unfamiliar location. What I experienced in the basement was something else entirely. During this time, I noticed another trend. The closer and closer it got to 3 a.m., the worse and worse my dreams became. 3 a.m. was a breaking point, a release. It freed me from the confines of the horrors that began to grow in my mind at night. I didn't know what to do with these theories, and was forced to sit on my hands for a while. At least now I was able to get a little more sleep, as I would sleep in the afternoon and go to bed as close to 3 a.m. as I could bear, limiting the amount of time I spent in nightmarish limbo. That one night I had spent in the guest bed reminded me of a few chores that needed to be done in the basement. I decided to clean out the closet of the guest bedroom. It was full of boxes that I had never bothered to unpack. The entire closet was stuffed with boxes neatly stacked on top of each other, filling the entire area of the closet. As I got deeper in, I noticed strange stains and discolorations along the walls and ceiling. The color of the stains got darker and darker the deeper it went into the closet. At first, I thought it was mold. But under closer inspection, I realized that something didn't look right. Mold was splotchy and non-uniform, but this got steadily thicker the closer to the back of the closet it got. Mold was also fuzzy, but this substance was slightly gooey. And unlike mold, it wasn't on top of the walls, but had rather soaked into them. Curiosity got the better of me, and I continued to remove the boxes, revealing more and more of the discoloring substance. It got thicker and thicker, and I soon discovered that it was concentrated in a far corner. Removing more boxes, I found a strange lump. It grew along the ceiling about 6 inches away from the wall. I knew it had to be the source of the strange substance, as it was completely covered in it. The lump itself was rather round, no bigger than a donut. I didn't know what to do. I was absolutely disgusted that this thing had grown in my house without my knowledge. I quickly backed out of the closet, stumbling over boxes as disordered half-memories of seeing similar horrors within my dreams suddenly arose. It was just so unreal and so scary. it incited in me this vague sense of fear. And it shook me down to my core. There was this strange, unknown presence in my house without my knowledge. And I felt completely powerless against it. I turned and ran back upstairs, desperate to get away from that thing. I thought on it for a while, really unsure of what to do. I tried researching it on the internet, but I couldn't find much. Everything said it was mold, but this didn't sit well with me. That was not mold. That was a nightmare that had slipped out of my dreams and somehow ended up on the roof of that closet. I went down a few hours later to look at it again, to convince myself that it wasn't really that bad, but it had gotten worse. It had grown. I was absolutely sure of it. It had expanded slightly, bulging downward. Its donut shape was slowly expanding into a sphere. I sincerely tried to convince myself it was mold, that the never-ending nightmares were getting the best of me and that I was just overreacting. Mold would have been caused by some moisture somewhere, so something was probably leaking. I was sure. It must have been caused by some old pipes above that closet. I figured out what room was above and was horrified to discover that the horrid, festering lump was right below my bedroom. I didn't want to believe it. I couldn't believe it. It just couldn't be real. I checked again and ended up narrowing down the location even more. It was right beneath my bed. I was never sleeping there again. In a panic, I went to my mother's house and spent the night there, trying to convince myself that I was just overreacting from lack of sleep. When I returned in the morning, I discovered it had shrunk down to the size of a squashed ping pong ball, an ugly blister on the ceiling. I monitored it the rest of the day, watching as it slowly grew in size. The theory that I came up with felt like something completely crazy, but I knew I would soon drive myself to the edge if I didn't test it. I got as much sleep as I could during the day, all of it on the couch, as far away in the house as I could get from that monstrosity. Around midnight, I gave up on sleeping. And I was very happy to, as this was the time when the nightmares started to become their worst. I went down to check on the lump again. I had been avoiding it all day, but I'd have to face it again to confirm the results of my experiment. What I witnessed was a nightmare come to life. The bulb had grown to the size of a small melon and had opened up into segmented parts. It looked like a sliced cantaloupe from hell. It had large barbs, like the lures on a deep undersea fish. They stood out in a circle, like gross, malnourished limbs reaching out desperately for food. Its inside and the barbs were deep purple on pale skin. The inside sticky and mushy. I gagged, revulsion spreading through me like a tidal wave. It was hard just to look at that thing. My blurred and distorted vision made it hard to focus, not that I wanted to. It was every creature that had ever tormented me in my sleep, its strange body menacing in just its existence. The longer I stood there, the deeper my fear spread. It paralyzed me by just looking at it, and it felt like I had to run to escape. But no matter how hard I willed myself to turn and flee, I could not get myself to move. I was rooted to the spot, trapped in a living nightmare. But as I was awake, I had to breathe, and was eventually broken from the spell. As soon as I was free, I raced up the stairs and got as far away from it as I could. I hunted down a watch and set it to the exact time to within a few seconds ahead of the exact time. I then set the alarm for 3 a.m., giving myself a short window before the time would actually occur. Now all I had to do was wait. The time passed slowly. I kept myself as busy as I could, but the minutes dragged on. Ever so slowly, I inched away from the couch and down the stairs. I paced the room nervously. Every second dragged out into an eternity. Every minute seemed like pure agony as I waited for the slow clock to count down to that dreaded time. About 3 minutes before 3 a.m., I finally let myself step into the guest bedroom. The closet door was open as I had left it, and I stepped into view of the monstrosity. Its horrid, pallid body was revealed to me, and I felt a wave of fear. It dragged me down into a living nightmare. It began to twist my thoughts, distort my vision. Fear crashed through me. I could feel my entire body tremble as I choked on the fear. It tried to drag my mind downward, dig into my imagination, and drown me with nightmares. However, I kept my eyes intensely focused on it with the small watch clutched tightly in my hands. I couldn't look away. Without looking at the watch, I knew I only had a couple minutes left until 3 a.m. and began quickly to count, desperately searching for a way to end my torment. The alarm went off. The thing shuddered. I watched as its barb slowly began to retract into its grotesque shell. I was aware in the back of my mind that the clock had just struck 3 a.m. The wretched limbs curled into itself and retracted back into the open shell into a tight bundle. Once they were all tucked away, the shell began to close, sealing away its trembling purple flesh and shrinking away back into the black secretions that covered the walls. The burden it placed on my mind evaporated. It completely disappeared, leaving my thoughts untainted. I finished my tale, swallowing hard. I had lost the courage to meet my therapist's eyes, and kept them focused instead on the shifting rainbows that danced across the carpet.
Well...
I could hear him shift uncomfortably in his seat.
That's something that we'll need to address.
Thank you for listening to our second place winner, 3 a.m. by Natalie Jacobson. This episode was produced by Andrew Lister. Voice actors for this episode include Emily Morgan and Andrew Lister. Tonight's episode is a production of the Shadowvane Podcast. For more information on our podcast or how to contribute to the show, check out our website, shadowvane.net. You can email the show at shadowvanecast@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at shadowvanecast, or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/shadowvanecast. Illustrations and creative editing by Ray Williams III. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can listen to more of his work at incompetech.com. We will release new episodes on the 1st and 15th of each month. If you liked what you heard, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. If you leave a written comment, we may read it at the end of a future episode. Until next time, dear listener. Until next time.